One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hello.
And Robert Timothy.
Wait, that's my intro.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Stop it, both of you.
Are we hacking Seinfeld right now?
No, it's Mrs. Doubtfire.
So, mine was Seinfeld.
No. That's more. Hello. Thank you.
Damn it, Ryan.
We just got here to the mall that our studio is located inside of the Madhouse Comedy Club. It's at Horton Plaza. Funny thing that happened to me as I was walking in, I hear, hey, 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 hey. And I'm like, there's
I was
no
like,
way.
Come on, Ryan, turn around. I'm calling for you.
I'm like, there's no way this voice is talking to me. I turn around and it's like a disheveled, I'm not sure if he's homeless, disheveled looking black kid, dreads. He's got his hoodie like just draped around his arms like, that are by his side. And he goes, bathroom. And I'm like, is this guy retarded? And we're over by the parking structure. And he's like, I'm like, sorry. He's like, where the bathroom? Lady said it's over here. Where is it? I'm like, he's like demanding, like, I moved it. Like, I'm playing some mean trick on him. He's like, where is it? She said it was over here. And I'm like, the bathroom is back that way, about 8 doors down on the right. And he looks at me and goes, nah. And I'm like, all right. I start walking. And he's like, hey. And I'm like, get back here. We're not finished.
I like the idea that Ryan is the Sphinx of the bathroom. Yeah. Like, he has these riddles, and if you answer them correctly, you'll get to poo.
Yeah, and if he falls for my little trick, then it's actually down there and to the right. And I even said at one point, I'm like, dude, I work here. Which is kind of true. I'm like, it's down there and to the right. Nah.
Yeah, I like that the kid thought either Ryan was lying.
Right.
Yeah, in which case, why ask me?
Or that Ryan didn't know.
Well, I like the idea that he asked him in the first place. Not like, excuse me, do you know where the bathroom is? But the demanding of bathroom as if like the person who told him was like, go upstairs, look for a guy with sideburns. Yeah.
He's going to be wearing the only one Devil's hat.
He's the only one who can direct you towards the bathroom.
Those are the situations I always, like, when I hear someone else tell the story, in my head I'm like, oh, I would have said the funniest thing or whatever. Right. I would, like, if he opened with bathroom, I would have been like, nah, I'm good. Just something. But I know if I was in this situation, I wouldn't think of
that. Yeah, hindsight's 20/20.
I'd be like, what? I'm sorry, what?
Oh, and by the way, when you find this man, use as few words as possible or he'll kill you.
Or my hindsight funny comment was when he goes, bathroom. I just yell, kitchen. let's just name rooms in a house.
I kind of hope that he's out there when I leave, because if I see him first, then I'll turn the tables. Yo, bathroom. And see what he says.
At this point, he'll have found it. He's like, right this way, sir. I wanted to start out this week with this story. I'm not sure I've told this one before, and if I have, it's been a very long time. But it's one of my favorites. I was just talking with our buddy Alan just the other day, and Dave, about this story, and they asked me why I hadn't told them the podcast. I'm like, I don't have a good answer for that. This happened quite a few years ago. First off, I'll preface this with, when I started doing stand-up, I made a really big mistake in the fact that when I started getting road gigs and they asked me if I wanted to take, you know, bring a comic with me, I would just book my friends with me.
Right.
And those were people that were very funny and I liked hanging out with, but they had no aspirations to be actual comics. Uh-huh. So instead of taking people that could reciprocate that booking, I just took the people I thought I'd have the most fun with.
Right.
And we had a lot of girls and a lot of laughs and a lot of beers, and it was a lot of fun. I wouldn't trade those memories of us doing these little shitty road gigs in Yuma and L.A. for anything.
By the way, just so you know, I've heard a lot of like higher end comics say, like the guys who have made it, the national touring headliners, a lot of them say that is the way to go. Don't necessarily book the person you think will be better for you in the future. Book the person you want to hang out with, because it makes the road more fun. But that's easy to say when you're selling out Madison Square Garden.
Right.
And you don't need the reciprocation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. And if I ever get to that level, then of course it'll just be people I want to have fun with. But, you know, and
So I guess we're not invited by
No, him. Not at all.
Absolutely not.
And opening is Aaron.
That wouldn't be too far off the way things are going. They were always very honest about it. One guy you know is Brian Bartel, Dave.
Yes.
The other guy was a guy named Mike West, who you guys probably don't know at all. He didn't really pursue it at all. Mm. And they were both very honest. Like, listen, I'm doing this as a goof. You know, I enjoy it. feel like I'm good at it, but yeah, I'm not making phone calls, man. If you want to take someone else, I understand. Otherwise, I'm happy to go with you. So when I would book these gigs, once I had exhausted my resources, they were no help. So anyway.
Right. A lot of fun, though. Just knowing Bartel, I know that had to be a great road trip.
Oh, yeah. They're always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one show I was doing with Mike West, it was just him and me. We're doing, I think, in the Temecula area. We do a show. It was a great show. We both had a good set. And afterwards, he comes up to me really excited. He's like, I got us a gig. I'm like, got us a, what do you mean you got us a gig? You don't get us gigs. Who'd you get a gig with? What do you mean you got us a gig? You don't get us gigs. I mean, I don't mean to insult you, but do you even know how to negotiate for one? Like, does it even pay? What'd you get us? And like, again,
I like how he's really looking a gift horse in the mouth on this. He's like,
you got to. This guy has no.
You absolutely had to. Like, he might be like, oh yeah, we're doing a breakfast show at IHOP.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing
seniors.
Yeah, we're doing a senior citizen home in the middle of the day. No cursing.
Or it could be like, hey, we're painting this lady's shed.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, where is this show? So he's like, no, it's good. It pays $40. It's in San Diego. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm like in town, so there's no real overhead getting there, and $40 for whatever. He's like, yeah, we're doing 15 minutes. I'm like, 15 minutes for $40, bit in bad. Okay, all right, okay. So anyway, I'm like, wait, who, how did you get this? And he goes, one of the guys here, they saw our set. He really liked us. I'm like, he gave me his card. So he gives me this guy's card. And I've never heard of him, but he billed himself as a comedy hypnotist.
Ooh.
And
that's a step down even from comedy magician.
Many questions because is that an adjective describing the type of hypnotism he does? Like, does he hypnotize you and make you laugh? Or is he a comedian who also hypnotizes you?
I take it one step further. I was like, Mike, are you hypnotized right now? Did he really give us this gig? So no, but anyway.
In fact, both you and Mike are handing him $40.
And I'm answering my shoe like it's a phone. So anyway, I have kept this man's card in my wallet for years, or I did. It eventually fell apart. And when it did, I took a picture of the photo because in entertainment, you should put a photo of yourself on your business card.
Right.
It's just a smart move. And, you know, for most people, it's their actor's headshot. A lot of people, they're doing stand-up. This picture, I have it on my phone here, is the most, I'm going to say, pathetic business card picture I've ever seen. Again, comedy hypnotist, Bobby, take a look and describe what you see here. This was the best picture out of all the pictures.
Well, first of all, it's an awkwardly shaped man who appears to be in some kind of Bruce Lee-esque outfit who is talking to a very skeptical and unimpressed woman
right
on stage, seemingly with a microphone.
So this is obviously from his hypnotist act, and I recognize that club in the background, the Comedy Palace, and what we're looking at here, this surly-looking Asian woman has her arms crossed.
Yeah.
And is very unhappy. She does not. I'm guessing from this picture that she did not want to go to this bullshit in the first place. And then she got pulled up on stage. And now this guy's blowing it while she's up there.
The look on his face especially is like, imagine what confidence looks like. And then think of the opposite.
This guy, his eyebrows are furrowed. He looks like a deer in headlights.
Looks scared.
He looks scared. If I had to caption this, I'd say he's saying, please be hypnotized. And she's saying, go fuck yourself.
Here is where you have overlooked something, Ryan. In fact, what happened that night is she was an incredibly bubbly, happy woman, and he hypnotized her into that skeptical, shit-eating grin face.
You're giving him way too much credit.
Yeah. So anyway, so right there when I see the card, I'm like, I should have said, something smells bad. This guy's a comedy hypnotist.
If you think hypnotism is turning someone from happy into surly, you haven't seen me perform lately. Boom, nailed it.
So, I mean, yeah, the whole thing kind of stunk, but he's like, all right, I'm like, $40, San Diego, in town, whatever. So the night of, Mike picks me up at his big gas-guzzling expedition he used to have that does come into play, and we type in the address for the show. San Diego, he did not mean San Diego proper. He meant San Diego County.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is actually the longest county in the entire United States.
So this is literally about 100 miles away. And, you know, it's in San Marcos, I think.
Wow.
And I was in Bay Park, so it was a good 40-minute drive. So right there, there's half the pay we were getting. Just gone.
Right.
So but I'm like, all right, we still get $20 each.
Right.
So anyway, we go there. We passed this place twice because it is a barn that looks like a feed store that with no sign on it. And now, I guess there it was a legit bar inside, a tavern, but we couldn't find it for a while. Finally, like, is it in that fucking barn? So we kind of like ease our way in this door. Now, the show is in progress because it started while we were trying to find the fucker.
This actually sounds like you're writing a script for a comedy horror movie.
Right.
Oh, it
called Hypno Bar.
This would definitely make a great script for that, but just buckle up because there's a lot going to go on here. So we go in there, and while we go in, the show is taking place. There's about 9 people there, 3 of whom are paying attention. And then I look at what's going on. It is Mr. Comedy Hypnotist. I recognize him from his business card. Mm-hmm. Ballroom dancing. That's part of the show. He's showing off his ballroom dancing with a very elderly woman. Like, she's, if you said she was in her 80s, I'd buy it.
As part of the show?
As part of the show.
It would be one thing if you walked in and he was just dancing like they're taking a break or something.
No.
But it is like, hey, we're going to entertain you with some of our moves.
Yeah, they put up 2 comics for these 3 people, and then they very seriously and unironically started ballroom dancing. So I look at Mike, I'm like, this is the fucking show? He's like, I guess that's the guy. So anyway, I'm like, let's get a beer. We sit down.
Ooh, I think I know what happened. I'm going to try to guess the end of the story here. Right. I think one of the audience members turned the tables and hypnotized him into thinking he's a world-class ballroom dancer.
Well, he did a great job because he had some moves. So we, by the way, this barn is littered with just weird, you'd think so, weird artifacts, like a rusty bathtub, like a saw laying on side. They scattered stuff around to make it look like an actual barn for aesthetic, but it just made it look like where you keep fucking humans, like if you have them chained to a pallet.
It's like a farmer who went to TGI Fridays and like, I like this, I'm going to do my barn like this.
Yeah. So anyway, then the first 2 comics go up. I've never heard of these guys. But they were elderly. I'm going to describe this one guy as a, not elderly, but just the side of middle-aged dwarf that looked like he had severe autism and was wearing a tuxedo. And he went up and started doing really hacky street jokes. And then he turned to the 3 black guys and got wildly racist.
Wow.
I forget what he said exactly, but there's 3 black guys in the whole place.
And on all of San Marcos.
And they're the only 3 paying attention. And just randomly, after he tells his third little hacky, you know, take my wife, please joke, he turns to them and is like, black guys don't know how many kids they have because they never stick around. And like, you could have heard a pin drop in that place.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck.
Little did Ryan know, what he didn't hear is actually they were heckling him while he was on stage. One of them just kept yelling, bathroom.
So in my head, this has gone from horror movie to now a David Lynch film.
Yes.
This is just so fucking bizarre.
No, it's going to get worse.
It's just like a midget with one of those paddle balls just hitting it against
So anyway, this guy just and doesn't realize how bad he did and walks right off in his little daze with his 1,000-mile stare. And then they put me and Mike up. And by the way, I should mention, during this, right next to the stage, another elderly woman, not the one with the ballroom dancing. I mean, I guess he had, this guy's got like Charlie's Angels.
He's
only
got a stable.
He's got a stable of elderly people. There's an old lady taking money for the show, which I think is only like $2, into a little cash box. And she's right next to the stage.
Of course she is.
Mike goes up.
Somewhere else?
Mike goes up. He said something about a joke about fucking a fat chick. The old lady jumps up, yells, "Oh my God," and storms out of the room. So I'm like, well, she didn't like that one. And then they bring me up, get nothing. No one's paying attention. It went like you would expect it would in this environment. And then as I'm talking, that woman, the same old woman, comes storming back in and stops the show. She's like, stop. Stop everything. Stop everything. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm like, who? Me? Me? And she points right at me at the stage. You should be ashamed of yourself. This is not comedy. Saying the F word for every other word is not comedy. I will not have it.
Now, was she actually commenting on your performance, or did she still think you were the guy who made the fat chick joke when she stormed out?
I'm not sure, but when she came in, I was using the F word just as much. Okay. So
she was actually a huge fan of comedy, just quoting her favorite bit from Eddie Murphy Raw.
There you go.
He's like, you can't do a whole show of curses. That's what.
Did
that's
you
all.
Look her right in the eye and go, shut the fuck up, old lady?
Yes. And, well, I did something similar. I went, why don't you go back to Almost Dying? And they didn't like that in the room. So then she stormed out crying or something. And anyway, boo, silence. I get off and I go up to Mike, who's at the bar. They bring up the next guy to be racist or whatever he's going to do. And I'm like, Mike, can we please get the fuck out of here? Can we please, please get the fuck out of here? He's like, let's hang out for a drink, man. We drove all the way up here. And I'm like, I don't want to hang out here. And he's like, dude, it wasn't that bad. And as he said that, a drunk guy walks up to me at the bar, bounces an unlit cigarette off my forehead and says, boo, not funny. And I had no fight in me left. I was, usually I'd be like, what the fuck? Don't throw shit at me. But I was like, yeah, I just let it happen. I let it bounce off my head. I just immediately turned to Mike. I'm like, please, can we go?
Ryan picked up the unlit cigarette and said, mine now.
I think I might have. So anyway, then... that's when I'm like, Mike, just go to talk to that fucking weirdo who's in a white tux jacket, by the way. He's like, I got to find him so we can get paid. Then we'll get out of here. I'm like, fair enough. As this happens, all the lights in the room go out. And it's clear it's not a power outage because the bar still has power. They clearly cut the power like the Undertaker was coming to the ring. And all of a sudden, a spotlight goes on the hypnotist guy. And he's in his white tux. And he goes... ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat for you. I'm like, oh, please, no treats.
Our treat, the show is over. Good night.
And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Marilyn Monroe. And the same elderly woman he was just with comes out in a very skimpy dress and a blonde wig. She is painted up like a marionette puppet, like the blood red cheeks, deep blue eyeshadow, like messy lipstick. And then, like, this really creepy Tiny Tim-esque music starts playing, and she starts walking up to the male patrons at the bar going, happy birthday to you.
Now, in his defense, that is what Marilyn Monroe would have looked like had she not died.
That's true. So,
Dave, I think you actually called this originally with the whole Dave Lynch thing. Like, this is really, in my head, this is Mulholland Drive times 10.
So anyways, now... by the way, the bar is situated in, as such where I'm kind of pinned in the corner with Mike. And all of a sudden I see her like go up and start trying to like seductively touch the male audience members. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. She turns to us. I'm like, oh, I don't want this. She comes walking up to me and like still with her. Happy birthday to you.
Ryan bounces the cigarette off her forehead. Not sexy.
Boo, not sexy. So so she gets to me and I'm like, I'm recoiling. Like, I'm not flat out flipping out because keep in mind, I've already upset an old lady tonight right. In front of everyone. I cannot go two for two. So I'm trying not to be like, get the fuck away from me, you freak. So I was leaning back like, Dave, if suddenly without warning, I reached out right now and tried to touch your face, you wouldn't be like, fuck off, I'm not gay. But you'd be like, okay, what's going on here? So that's what I'm doing. I'm leaning back like, and then I just feel her bony hand drag across my cheek, and I felt like the pee shivers up my spine.
And then she does the Crypt Keeper laugh.
It wasn't far off. So anyway, I'm like, Mike, go talk to him. He goes, oh, there is one thing I should tell you. I did talk to him before the show about it. It wasn't 40 each. I'm like, son of a bitch, go get my $20. Oh, wait.
He's like, then gas.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, at least go. And so anyway, he's like, I can't find him. I'm like, I'm finding this guy. We're getting out of here. I'm like, yo, let's call him Peter Wonder. I was like, yeah, you Wonder, get over here. And so he's like, hi. I'm like, hey, man, we'd like to get out of here now, please. And so if we could just get that $40 total you owe us, that'll be great. And then he looks at me for about a beat and starts crying.
Wait, what?
Sobbing. He just,
like full on.
Like full on sob.
I already figured this out. He had hypnotized himself to cry at the sound of the word $40.
Post-hypnotic suggestion, nice.
And I just stare at him for a minute and I'm like, why are you crying? And he goes,
you're crying, and he runs away.
He says, I'm so sorry. I can't pay you. I just can't pay you. I'm sorry. I'm like, what do you...
Give me the jacket.
I'm taking the old lady. I want one of your old hoes. So I'm like, what? And he goes, at this point, you can't feel mad. Like,
right.
I've been fucked by promoters lots of times and I wanted to drag them outside and beat the shit out of them. This was just so pathetic that you just could not feel animosity.
Right. It's almost genius in that way, because it is hard to look at a crying man and be angry at him.
So I'm like, what the fuck is this? He's like, I'm sorry. It wasn't supposed to go like this. He's like, I've already lost money. I had to pay the bar for this show, like, to do it here. And I did. We only made
it. He handled his own bringer.
He's like, we only made $8. I'm going to have to give that $8 to them. I still owe them more. I'm like,
that's not enough to cover Mildred's arthritis medication.
Sparkly blazers don't pay for themselves.
She's got $40 worth of makeup on.
Give her the wig. So I'm like, man, he's like, I can make this up for you. I'm like, please don't make this up to me. Please just don't call me ever again.
You're going to stop smoking in 3, 2. Yeah.
Dude, I want to believe that this is like some elaborate setup. Like, this dude is so old. He's been through so much shit. Now he's just bored and he's rich. Like, think of The Purge. Like, you've seen those movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in some of those movies, like, rich people, like, pay to
make people like
brought over and
kill
them.
Yeah.
So this is just his group of rich friends, like, hey, you want to do that thing again where we get a couple of comedians to come in and pretend they're on a show and then we just fuck with them all
then
night?
We just do weird ass shit and we don't pay them?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what happened.
That's what I see at the end of this.
Hey, Peter, how are you up on your crew? Well, let me see. Is that good? Because you're the master.
The old lady's actually super hot. They just put makeup on her.
I see at the end of the show.
Those guys aren't even black.
At the end of the show, I just see Ryan and Mike just dragging like a clawfoot tub out of their thing. Like, we'll get some fucking cash for this in the scrapyard.
I was so scared in this little fucking little world of theirs that I was afraid that I was going to come off stage and see Mike working behind the bar with a blank stare on his face. Like, Mike, let's get out of here. What do you mean, sir? What can I get you?
It's like some kind of weird cross between Get Out and Eyes Wide Shut, but it's just
I think it's got some
comedians.
Shining in there, too.
It's got a little blue velvet mixed in there, if you ask me. Anyway,
oh,
so.
Oh, God, that sounds amazing.
So
did you book a Degenerates gig with him now?
Yeah, are we going there afterwards?
Because hopefully.
Is that our Halloween?
I don't think he can afford it.
And actually, the guy that you mentioned, he's popped back up in the comedy scene. That's the reason this story's resurfaced.
Yeah, because someone was like, well, who is this guy? And I told him that story. And I saw him now. He's abandoned the Hypnotist act.
Or he's gotten really good at it.
True. Now, because apparently, like, he couldn't hypnotize anyone. He kept pulling people on stage, like, and you're hypnotized. Like, no, I'm not. You think your shoe's a phone? No, I don't.
He's got 7 versions of that business card, and all the people are angry on them.
Right. Yeah, that was the best take.
So he dropped to that and became a psychic. He's a comedy psychic now.
Wow. That was one that I saw. He actually has some kind of show that people call into, and I really...
Oh, can we call in?
I predict no laughter.
The best thing, the most recent flyer, like I said, he's popped up recently. I've seen a couple flyers. The most recent one, there's one sentence on it, and that sentence has 3 typos.
Yeah, oh,
so you
oh,
know
yeah.
This is a great show.
I have
You know
that.
This is going to be fantastic.
I have it. Let me pull up that flyer for you.
The one that I remember is you call in for a heart-to-heat conversation. It was supposed to say heart-to-heart, obviously, but
sure.
Heart-to-heat.
And then...
I don't know. Maybe it's about guys who are really in love with the water heater. Who knows?
Okay. This says, I zoom in here, getting up close and personal with heart-to-heat conversations with an apostrophe S yeah. for some reason, about our wacky lives.
Life's
apostrophe S, Bobby. If you'll just take a closer look at that. About our wacky lives.
I read that. I was waiting for the next sentence. Life's what? Your life's what?
Well, here's the thing. Is it an ownership apostrophe, as if the heat belongs to the conversation and something belongs to the life, or is there an is at the end and he's doing a contraction?
Hey, don't fag it up, all right? He's just stupid.
We should definitely call in for another episode.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that. All right, so another thing, by the way, is I'm cleaning out my garage and I'm selling stuff online on Craigslist. Facebook even
oh,
has
God,
its
that's
own.
That's always fun.
Yeah, a little sell stuff. So I also have that Let Go app and stuff where you take a picture of your shit, they review it for a second, and they choose the title, you know, so you don't mislead anyone. Anyway.
Comedy hypnotist.
rusty bathtub, hardly used. So I don't know if this is a thing or if everyone goes through this or if there's just a sexual fetish I don't know about where people pretend to be feverishly interested in what you're selling online and make you like draw out the conversations forever and then make you agree on a time and place to meet to exchange these goods and then just fucking ghost you
and
disappear off the face of the planet. Like, is this like a prank thing? Like, Bobby, you're the king of pranks.
Dude.
Is this funny?
I have forgotten how bad this is until recently because I had the baby and so I have to get rid of all my fun shit. So I'm selling my motorcycle.
I'm going to, before I know where Bobby's going, this is not a prank. Bobby would want to dispense vigilante justice these people.
Oh my God, I want to so bad.
Manners!
Right?
I had to sell my car. I had to sell my motorcycle. I had a bunch of stuff going on. So I was selling my motorcycle and this guy messaged me, oh my God, is your motorcycle still for sale? I was like, yeah. He's like, that's a great price. Anything wrong with it? I was like, nah, I just got to get rid of it. I'm having a kid. I want to get rid of it soon. So I marked
it down.
I like
how sometimes they'll even give you the reasons why they like it. Yeah. I just bought an F-150 and that cover's going to be great on it.
Right.
Like, I don't give a shit. Come get it.
And he's like, oh, sweet. Okay, great. When can I come take a test ride? And we like plan it all out. We get the entire time scheduled out. I go, of course, I shine up the bike. I get everything. It was a little bit earlier than I thought somebody was going to respond. So I went and made sure I had all the registration. I literally fill out the DMV paperwork. Because I'm like, this guy's sold already. He literally told me, I've got it. I'm ready to go. Please don't sell it to anyone until I get to see it. Please let me be the first person to see it.
And I'm hearing all this about
also
everything.
Very common tactic. Yeah.
Yes. And but by the way, these are for like small items. Like one of them is a truck cover for a truck I don't own anymore. And like some guy's like, oh my God, those things go for $100. They do. Mine's like almost brand new. And then he's like, oh my God, you're selling it for $30. I'll fucking be there. I'm on my way. I hear like tires screeching in the background.
Yeah. And
nothing.
I went and I literally printed out the bill of sale forms. I filled it all out. Everything's all detailed and stuff. I get out the title.
And
I find
Bobby,
all the extra
you
keys.
And I have both worked in sales before, legit sales, not selling shit out of your garage on Craigslist. But like, so we know buying signs. We know when we have a hot shopper.
Right.
I've been in sales too.
Yeah.
And this guy was so into it. And he's like, I'm like, when do you want to come over? He's like, 1:30. Is 1:30 good? Yeah. Okay. We plan it. This is like a week planning, by the way. And he even said, can I come over earlier than that? No, sorry, buddy. I want to make sure I got everything from the DMV. All right. 1:30 on this day. Perfect. I get off work early to come make this appointment at 12:45. I'm like, I just want to make sure, you know, just in case. Cause again, I'm always wary. Just want to make sure you're coming. Yeah, bro. I just got to drop some people off at the airport. Okay, cool. All right, right on. I'll see you at 1:30. Great. I get a text at 1:25. No joke. This is the exact wording of the text. Sorry, bro. They didn't approve my loan. Were you at the loan office at 1:15 trying to get to a 1:30 appointment to buy a bike that you have been planning to buy for a week?
Now, that's a level of stupid, but Shores is more just straight up.
It's just straight up like malarkey.
Like they don't even give that courtesy.
No,
text.
They don't even give that to me. That's why I think it's a sexual fetish. I think that they're sitting at home beating off feverishly to the thought of me sitting on my curb with a chaise lounge that they didn't want in the first place. Like, yeah, he's probably so fucking disappointed.
Oh my God!
Do you text them like, "Hey, are you showing up?"
Yes. Now one guy finally got back to me. Like he's like, "All right, I'm leaving Chula Vista for your place now because I'm gonna meet him on my front curb. I'm not taking this anywhere." He's like, "All right, on my way." And all of a sudden, he's like, "Yeah, I'll be there soon." And then I never heard from him again. I blow up his tags like, "Dude, I need to go somewhere soon. Are you gonna get here or not? Because my wife does not want to meet a stranger on the curb by herself. So it's me or nobody, nothing." And then 2 days later, I get a text from him. Sorry, bro, I was on a fishing boat in Cabo.
What?
I
thought you were leaving Chula Vista.
Yeah, you just.
He took a wrong turn.
In my mind, he's just driving down the freeway like, I can't wait to get this cover. This is going to be awesome. Portal appears in front of him. His entire car goes through it. He gets transported to a fishing boat in Cabo. And he's like, oh no, I'm so rude. This guy will never understand that I don't have service.
Who walks out of the deck but Mr. Comedy Hypnotist himself, Peter Wonder, made you think you were buying a truck cover, didn't I?
You were here the whole time in Cabo.
This
Let's
is
party.
A long con. After you left that barn gig, he's like, make me cry. I'll show you. And he just hypnotized all these people and has them like programmed to go off like years later. Like the Manchurian candidate for fucking Shores.
It is weird Because I have done, like, I have been buying something on Craigslist and shit has happened to me before. I buy a lot of shit off Craigslist. And so I've been, like, on my way.
There was that forced hand job situation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's not forced if you're paying. But I've been on my way to go get something. And then, like, my wife will text me and be like, something has happened. I need you to come home right away. And I am so sorry. I can't believe I'm blah, blah, blah. If it's still around in 2 hours, I'll come get it. But I'm sorry. I can't make it right now. I know I said I was going to. I don't get the mentality of the people who get. It's not like I'm going to come take a look at it maybe on Tuesday. Like, I am buying this in 1 hour. I am on the way. And then just fuck it. Screw it. Let them wait around. Who cares?
Yeah. And you know what? What a fool I was when I started doing this, because I thought that there was some sort of etiquette involved.
Right.
So, like, someone would say that to me. But by the way, I've sold 8 things. Well, no, I put 8 things for sale. I've sold 1 out of 8. Every single item, I am buying that. I'm on my way. I fucking need it. Please don't sell it. The whole thing. So the first few times when I'd get one of those calls, I'd be like, all right, I'll see you at 3 o'clock. And then someone else would be like, hey, man, is that still available? I'd be like, no, I'm sorry. Someone's spoken for it. You know, like the little schoolboy I am. Yeah. And all of a sudden, when that guy doesn't show up, I'm like, motherfucker. So now I'm like, I hope 2 people show up at the same time and have to fucking fight for it. I'm really the Joker in The Dark Knight. I'm going to break a pool cue in half and be like, who wants that duvet cover?
I actually had a situation where I was selling a car on Craigslist recently, and I did that whole thing, and I had learned from the motorcycle experience. So I was like, fuck this. I need to sell this car. The registration's going to lapse. I need to sell it immediately. I got to have it done tonight. So I had set it up where I was like, people had texted me, oh, this is a super great deal. Can I get it? Sure. Set it up for 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6. Like, I set up appointments and let them know, just so you know, you're third or whatever, but here's the way it goes. The guy who was number one, who did the exact same thing, let me be number one. Please, let me be the first person. Like, he's supposed to show up at 4. At 4:05, he goes, will you take $100 off? And I was like, wait, what? I don't understand.
How dare you?
You begged to be the first person. You said you were okay with the price. You knew what it was ahead of time. And he's like, yeah, I would like you to take $100 off.
I'm sure you would.
And I'd like you to add $100 on. How about that?
And I was like, I'll give you a call if it doesn't sell or something like that. He starts texting me throughout the rest of the night, and he's like, please, let me buy it, please. And I was like, hey, listen, you had your chance from like 4 to 4:30. I end up selling it to somebody for $200 less than he is willing to pay at that point, just to be like, fuck this guy. I don't want to reward this behavior.
It's principle. I get principle, man.
I hate dealing with that shit. That happens all the time, sure. It's like people not showing up. So now I try to weed some of that out just being in sales. Like, I'll do the takeaway. Like, even if nobody else is coming, I'll tell whoever responds, yeah, I got someone coming in 3 hours.
Yep.
Because then, like, that weeds out some of the people that flake, but not all of them.
But not that guy. That guy knew he was first in a line of 5 people, and he still decided to chance it.
Dude, I think it's just prevalent, because you guys remember our friend Paige Wesley, who's come down and done some interviews with us.
Yes, I do.
She posts a lot about the job that she works at. I forget where it is, and I probably shouldn't say, even if I remember, I don't want to get her in trouble. But
fine.
She posts about stupid customers, and there was one post recently where apparently a customer was like calling the store repeatedly, I need this specific item, I need this, do you have it? Made Paige call around other stores until finally she got it. When the customer finally showed up to get it, they were like, so what's so special about this thing?
Wow.
Yeah. Like, after calling and demanding and pleading and begging, and then they're like, what's so great about, like, people are just so fucking stupid.
I think, because when you see these people, they're always like on the weird, very unattractive / weird end of the spectrum. I think it's just the power they have in that moment. Like, normally I'm the McDonald's cashier who you think might have been burned in a horrible car accident, but today I'm king.
Oh, shitting on McDonald's cashiers. All right. I see where this is headed.
Speaking of stupid people, we've talked about GoFundMes before. I forgot this. Dave, I showed it to you earlier. And by the way, I want to make it really clear that I'm not against GoFundMe as a whole. I think it's a great thing they do. You know, I've used it to get one of my friends out here from Texas that was going through a rough time. All of us, his friends, chipped in to get him a plane ticket. And someday I might, use it to fund like a project where investors will get something back. But what we shit on specifically is people that misuse it or just be like, I need a new guitar. I'd really like a barbecue, like a nice propane one. I'm traveling to Europe for fun.
Oh, this is the best. I want to go on vacation. Those
I like the one where the girl did it because she got too drunk to realize that Uber was on like triple fare and spent like $400 on a ride home.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, okay, this one tops everything. And the reason is because at least the people that say, hey, I want to go backpacking in Europe and I don't want to work, at least they're giving you some explanation. This came up today. This is a girl that I went to college with. I haven't really talked to her since. If you see this picture here, and I apologize that we're doing a second picture. It's a very visual episode. But Bobby, again, if you could describe what you're looking at here in the picture.
It is a picture of a stairwell, and there's two groups of people, one on the left side, one on the right side. The left side is two people. One is a guy awkwardly with his hand around a possible guy or girl.
And by the way, they're all dressed in like 90s grunge gear. Like, they look like the doofuses from Soul Asylum.
Who is looking very intently into the camera. On the right-hand side is just two young-looking dudes sitting on some steps. If I were to guess what this is with no prior knowledge of it whatsoever, I would say, yeah, probably bad band cover from the early 90s.
Yeah,
so Shores described it best on Facebook when he said it's four doofuses in a stairwell.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's the picture. It's just four dorks in a stairwell trying to look cool. And all it says is, with just this picture, and Bobby, you've seen it, it just says, for more information, donate $5. So how bold!
Just to find out what you're donating to, yeah. You have to donate.
Here's four dorks in a stairwell. That's, give me $5.
That's actually kind of brilliant.
I was going to say, there's a weird genius to this.
It's like, yeah.
Because you look at it and you're like, I'm so offended by what you're doing that I have to see what you're doing.
First, yeah. Make with the Abraham Lincoln, then I'll tell you where it's going. It's just so weird.
Now, but there could be a lot of things that would be totally worth it. Like, what if one of those four people is the star of a snuff film? We would want to see that.
Right, but
if all four were starring in it.
Well, then, I mean, any one of those.
You're
going to
want to lead with that. You're going to want to lead with that. That's my point. I don't care what this is. All I know is they want you to blindly donate to it. And went, here's a picture of people you don't know with no description. Give me $5.
I actually researched it a little bit just because I was curious what the fuck it was. And I managed to find out it's a fund to restore a theater, like just some sort of old theater falling apart.
Wait, you researched what it was?
Yeah.
Did you give them $5?
No. I was able to find that out without donating.
Nice.
But you got a BitTorrent of it.
That fucking picture has nothing to do with a theater being renovated.
Show like, a what picture of an old theater.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, I just realized that one of the people is the girl I went to college with. I thought these were all boys. Okay, she looks like a dude now. But wow. So that was their advertisement to restore a theater, them in a stairwell dressed like Nirvana. That's what they did.
What, you can't put two and two together, Shorts?
No, evidently not. Wow. Wow, good, nice.
Oh man.
Restore a theater. I'm sitting on stairs.
Yeah, good stuff.
By the way, before we go out, guys, I have a tip for everybody right now. I don't know if the odds are the same this second when you hear this, but as we are recording this, the odds of the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which we discussed a bit in detail last week, have shifted to the point that they're almost unbelievable. They've gone from -2250 on Mayweather to -350, meaning if you bet $100 on Mayweather, you get 20 back. So right now, you are essentially guaranteed a 20% return on investment, which is crazy. Right now, Conor's odds are higher than like legitimate boxers who have fought Mayweather in the past. So if you want to make an easy $200 and you can spare $1,000 for a month and a half, this is like the best. It's like the best hedge fund you've ever seen.
Oh, now, why are Conor's odds so high?
A lot of hype, and Irish love betting. So they have shifted the odds.
There it is.
It really is that. They have shifted the odds.
Got to hype shit out of here. It's the Irish.
By the way, we talked about this a little bit last week, but an article came out basically the exact time we were recording that really went in depth about McGregor and his quest and everything. There's a few things that I didn't know which are really interesting. One of which is it does look like this will almost certainly be his last fight and he will not come back for MMA.
Did he said that outright?
He has been saying for the past 3 or 4 years, I am not in here to be a champion. I don't want to stick around. I am in here to get money and leave. And the second I get money, I'm out.
Oh.
And he has made that clear a bunch of times. He has a bunch of tweets like get in, get the money, get out. He has said a whole bunch, you know, he doesn't want to get CTE. He doesn't want to get brain damage.
It doesn't surprise me at all because he's always just been about more about the fame and the money than about you know, the belts, the titles, stuff like that. So it, like, as soon as he was talking about getting this fight and when it got made, I immediately thought, like, well, he's not coming back to MMA.
Apparently Dana White has taken some steps to start doing interim belt titles for his belts.
What a shock. Interim belts in the UFC?
Well, yeah.
They've already done that. That's already been done with the featherweight belt, so now the lightweight belt has to go.
Yeah, and then some chatter was coming up that one of the reasons Dana White was fighting this particular fight so hard, even though he stands to make a lot of money off of it, is that he has essentially done the math, and it had to get to the point where it worked out that he made more money on this than he'd make on Connor's next five belt defenses, because he knew he was leaving.
Right.
The other interesting thing, which makes you respect him a little bit less, it turns out there's this great story from a reporter. Go check out a CNN.com article on Conor McGregor. It's really interesting, actually, about his whole rise to success and stuff. All came from something that is probably an unexpected area. A DVD copy of The Secret.
What?
The Secret?
What, I don't know what that
is. Where you,
that's the Oprah thing.
It's where you wish things and then they become true.
You make a vision board. You put pictures of what you want on a board in your room, and then it manifests.
But it's not. But it's not the subtle, like, hey, if you really concentrate on something, you will get it. It's literally magic. Like, if you think of something, it will happen. And the example they gave is like,
fuck,
Connor and his, after he saw the DVD, he got all excited about it. And from then on, every time him and his girlfriend would go to the supermarket, they would envision getting a specific parking spot right in front. And if they focused hard enough, when they got there, it would be empty. And they
so
could
it's
get that
like the
spot.
End of Maverick starring Mel Gibson,
basically.
Oh.
And he's super into
hey,
The Secret.
Can't argue results. Look where he's at.
I guess.
Although
Nate Diaz argued him that one time, though.
I was actually thinking that he must be into The Secret. I didn't know that until you said that, because he actually had a mural painted on the wall of his gym.
I saw that.
Of him landing a punch on Floyd Mayweather's face.
That's right. All he wants to do, land one punch.
That's now his vision board.
I like, listen, I just want to land the one punch, and then he can have, then I'll fucking go to sleep.
So The Secret made me respect Conor McGregor much, much,
less.
Much less.
Absolutely.
But I will still be very sad to not see him fight again. He's still, no matter, I don't care if he's into The Secret, Scientology, or what the fuck else he's into, he is an amazing fighter to watch fight.
Oh, yeah.
I am so sad that I'm going to see him go out, not on his shield, but go out, you know, just getting himself handed to him.
He's a showman, so the sport's going to miss him, and you're a huge fan.
Huge fan!
I have never liked him. I've always been, like, anti-Conor, but the fact that he can make me hate him, it's testament to how we'll get him.
He's like the Iron Sheik!
I read a story about him recently that made me like him more, and, like, they were showing clips of videos I'd never seen before. Like, after he knocked out Aldo in the ring, like, when the ref was holding both hands, he leaned over to Aldo. He's like, hey, sorry, mate, sorry, we'll run it back. Like, he's so fucking humble and nice in the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
But then he just summons up all this bravado when he needs to market the fight.
And I'm not, like, a big guy in the whole bravado thing. Like, that's why I hate the Diaz brothers and everything like that. I love Conor because of the martial artist he is. He brings to the game, like, a whole different style of impact kickboxing, this in and out. It's almost like point karate style. He does such amazing things in the ring. He's one of those few people who, he talks a lot of shit, but he backs it up with what he does.
Right.
And he's such an amazing fighter to watch, and I'm really going to miss seeing him in the UFC.
Listen, all I want is, whether or not he loses this fight, you know, we know it's going to happen. I'm still rooting for him. No matter what, if he retires from MMA, all I want is for him to not come back like five or six years later.
Hey. Put that on your vision board, okay?
Yeah,
right next to the picture of a barn show out in East County. And then those will both become reality.
Oh, whatever. You guys are just products of my fucking hypnosis anyway. So fuck it. This show isn't even real, so let's end it. Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan Shores for Dave Callens and Robert Timothy saying, see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
Shut the fuck up, old lady.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Yeah, he's probably so fucking disappointed. Ah!